You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Locked On Jazz. It's the while she's inside Nordstrom doing all the shopping, you're sitting outside listening to Locked On Jazz on shopping day. And I try to explain to you what's going on with your 8-10 Utah Jazz. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? Welcome to the show. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great and things are enjoyable for you. Had a good Thanksgiving. This is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers you can get on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts as well. Spotify, tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. I actually, quick thing on Thanksgiving, I actually had a really great day. I guess I have three families, right? I have my family, I have my in-laws, and I have the Jazz. And all three had Thanksgiving. The Jazz, the Miller family, Quinn Snyder, very classy and incredible in having a dinner out for us when we got to our really fabulous hotel here in Los Angeles. And couldn't have been a nicer event. I stopped by for a minute and then headed over to see my in-laws. So I actually had Thanksgiving with my parents and my kids in Park City, and then came down to L.A. and had dinner Thanksgiving with my in-laws as well. So kind of a neat treat for me. All right, so we lost to Sacramento the other day, which was not a good loss, and it and I think it had the feeling a little bit that something, you know, might be amiss with what's going on. There were some interesting things in that game that I wanted to walk through with you and see if we could try to get a grasp on, and something might be amiss, quite frankly. Like I'm not entirely. There's some things of concern. I think that's a fair comment. But QSQ is quantified shot quality. It's a second spectrum stat. It measures the likelihood that any shot's going to go in if the average player in the NBA takes the shot. Against Sacramento, the Jazz quantified shot quality. Okay, this is kind of a new stat, but basically where they got their shots, the league average value of those shots, the Jazz should have shot an effective field goal percentage of 55.2. They shot 50. 5 percentage points below what they should have shot. We can get really, really, really complicated about things, but if you can't make shots and you're getting wide open looks, and we're going to walk through them here in a second in that fourth quarter, it's tough. The other thing that happened is that Sacramento's QSQ, quantified shot quality, was supposed to be a 51.2. And it was 59. They were 8 percentage points better than what they were supposed to be. That's pretty unusual. So they got hot. This is based on defenders, where not who's shooting them. It's based on quality of shot where defenders are. Some of that is just unusual, okay? I mean, I've often referred to it as luck. And you've got to look into it a little bit. From the Jazz standpoint, one thing that you kind of have to be wondering right now, I have my answer on this one, is that the Jazz are allowing an inordinately high rate of shots to go in the paint non-restricted and in the mid-range. And you know, I think it's easy to say, well, they're not guarded and they're wide open looks. Yeah, but like the league average on these shots is 40%. Maybe it's because it's not as good as shooters and better shooters are shooting, you know, now teams are, but it's still the league average. And we're allowing an inordinately high percentage. My opinion is that that will equal out over a larger sample size. It's just inevitable. We're allowing 46.2% on mid-range, 30th in the league, 44.4% on 29th in the league. Now, you know, it's easier to say, and we're now allowing, I think, 25th in the league on above-the-break threes. That will certainly equalize. So something weird is going on that people are making an awful lot of shots against us. Now, well, we're soft, we're passive. Maybe. I think the more likely scenario is that it all equals out here at some point. But we are almost 20 games into the season, so it's strange. We're the fifth-best team defending the corner three. We're 30th on the mid-range, 27th. Those are big numbers. But last year, if you kind of looked at the defensive numbers in the league, the best, you take out the top two or three on each side and get the and go to the media, there's just not a lot of stand. There's not a lot of deviation when you look at the defensive numbers of team shooting in mid-range and paint non-restricted. So therefore, this shouldn't hold. But there are some other elements. I mean, there's two things that have me concerned I want to talk about today. One is the pace of play in the league and whether it has somehow meant that defenses like the Jazz, maybe even Boston, can't have the impact that they had, Houston, that they had on the game last year. That people are playing faster. And the other is just our shooting. So to the point of the Sacramento game where we were supposed to shoot 55 and we shoot 52, we are right now, according to QSQ, the in shooting, let me see if I 27th in the NBA. We're 3 points below what shot quality we're getting. We're getting the number one shot quality in the league. Only Detroit, Oklahoma City, and Atlanta are worse. And here's what's disturbing to this. And this is, and this, actually, I can take this both ways. Is, let's go back to the fourth quarter. So, we're down two to open the fourth quarter against Sacramento. On the first play, out of timeout, Favors turns it over on a bounce pass that Dante left the corner. Floor spacing's messed up. And Quinn and Ron Boone on the broadcast says, hey, you got to get something better out of a timeout. Like, that's bad. Okay, that is just bad. There's undeniable. Next possession, Donovan drives, gets to about 11 feet. He's got Dante wide open in the left corner. He doesn't make that read. And he misses an 11-foot floater. Favors, Jazz get the rebound on that. Reset. Donovan drives the left side, makes the right read. Favors is wide open in the left corner for a three. Favors and Gobert on the floor together at this point. And Favors misses. Bogdanovich hits a three. The Jazz are now down six. Timeout. Ingles comes in. Burks comes in. Next play, Jazz execute perfectly. Dante Exum, wide open right corner three, misses. Next play, Jazz get a stop. Burks hits perfectly executed play. Alec Burks gets a wide open three, hits. Wide open. Three-point game. Next, Jazz get a stop. Come down with a chance to tie. 9:20 left in the fourth. Jay Crowder comes around on a pin down. Bagley tries to shoot the gap. Crowder reacts perfectly. Flares out to the wing. Gobert sets a pick on Bagley. Willie Cauley-Stein's dropped. Jay Crowder's wide open. Misses. Jazz get another stop. Jazz come out of the next play. Jay Crowder wide open. Straight down the barrel three. Missed it. Jazz get another stop. Ingles drives to the basket, draws a foul. It's a two-point game. Let me stop right here and say I give huge credit to this team that they're still in the game at this point. I mean, they're executing the offense perfectly, getting no dividends, and that's you crack at some point. Next, now it's a five-point game. Things begin to fall apart a little bit. Rubio drives. He's got to shoot it. He doesn't shoot it. Instead, he turns it over. Somehow the Jazz get another stop. Rubio snakes under a pick and roll, takes a line drive 15-footer and misses. Pretty bad sequence right there by Ricky. Just because they all build off each other, right? His inability to take the layup in traffic on the first one means a turnover, so the next time he doesn't drive the basket, he takes a mid-range 15-footer instead. Like, it's just not a great two-play sequence there. Jazz get another stop. They're still in the game. Like, I give them great credit for this. Okay, now Favors comes in for Gobert because Rudy's got to get a rest and our substitution patterns were a little different that night. The Jazz start to make mistakes. 7 minutes left, they start to crack. AB commits a foul on an inbound play before the ball's inbounds. Then Fox hits a jumper. AB miscommunicates with or somebody on a switch, allows Bogdanović open for a three, and now you're in a little bit of trouble. But the Jazz come down. Rubio misses a five-footer on a bad possession. He tries to go one-on-one on Bjelica, throws up an air ball. Jazz get an offensive rebound, kick out to a wide-open Crowder. He misses again. Now you're down 10. Game's over. And Rubio gets a wide-open look. Two possessions later, misses. I don't know what you're supposed to do, honestly, at that point. And we'll talk about that. Because there are some concerns on that. But that's perfect offense. No shots went down. And the guys eventually cracked defensively. But they held on for like 6 minutes, which actually, to me, is pretty encouraging. Today's show is brought to you by Grip 6 Belts. If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift for someone, go to grip6.com/lock. Grip 6. I was actually, I don't mean to make fun, but I was at Thanksgiving dinner last night, and one of the people at the dinner had this belt, and like the strap was just flopping out on their leg. And I was like, that just looks terrible. You need a Grip 6 belt. I didn't tell them that because I didn't really know them that well. I thought it'd be kind of rude. But they did. They needed a Grip 6 belt because Grip 6 belts have no holes, no loops. So you take it, and it weaves underneath in a patented hook onto the belt buckle. And then the belt buckles and the straps are interchangeable, which is kind of awesome. Right now, if you go to grip6.com/lock, there is a better deal for you than our regular deal. And the people at Grip 6 are so cool that they actually have a link to you to go grab that at grip6.com in the midst of their Black Friday deal. 30% off the entire store. Use the code Friday30. You can also go and use the, if you want 33% off, you can use LOCK89 and get three buckles, three straps, including the Grip6.com hanger. Go to grip6.com/lock, grip6.com/lock, and check it out. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Blake and the crew have got it flying. A huge Black Friday event going on at Murdoch. Let me tell you something. If you're shopping for a car, you should put Hyundai on your list. Because for all, I'm sure you've got your list of cars you're looking at. Just add Hyundai, stop by Hyundai, look at what the cars look like, look at the value you get for your dollar, and then you can decide. The Murdochs will treat you great. I've told you that 100 times. But seriously, put Hyundai on your list of cars. Whether it's you're looking for the small little SUV, grab a Kona. They're flying off. The trucks arrive. They go out. Trucks arrive. They go out. If you're looking for a midsize Tucson or a Santa Fe, check that out. If you're looking for a Sonata or Elantra or the Ioniq for the hybrid, check that out. But put Hyundai on your list. Stop by. Let Jason or one of the guys over there show you around and see what you get. Then you can decide. Maybe you'll decide you want the something else from somebody else. But that's fine. But I would strongly suggest you include Hyundai in your look of cars you're going to take. 4646 in Murray, State Street in Murray, Logan, and Linden. All right. So let's get to the shooting for a second. And then the other scenario is an idea that possibly the league has gotten fast and the Jazz can't keep up. So how did we survive? How did we play so well at the end of last year? One is we were just incredible defensively. And when you're that great defensively, it leads to better looks offensively. Now, I just showed you that we're getting great looks offensively, so that kind of probably has a little less value than I just made it sound. But I do think there's something possibly to that. If you look at last year overall, for the entire season, the 2017-18 NBA season, the Jazz ranked as a middle-of-the-pack offensive team. Okay, we had a 106.2 offensive rating, and that ranked us, I think it's 16th in the league offensively last year. Maybe 18th, 15th. Okay, 15th or 16th. In as good as we were, in January we were 19th, in February 13th, in March we were 15th. It wasn't like we ever went bananas offensively. In April we were better, but there's some really false games in there. So let's look at who we have. Donovan is a career 33% three-point shooter. In the last 41 games last year, he shot 33. This year, he's shooting 30. Okay, he's down 3 percentage points from what you could fair to assume. Ingles' career is 41%. Last 41 games last year, he was 46. Probably can't assume that. Go back to his career average. He's at 38 right now. He's 3 points off his career average. Jay Crowder is a 34% career three-point shooter, 32% in his last 41 games with us last year, 30% this year. He has an outlier year that pumps his career average. I think he is a 31 to 32% three-point shooter. Rubio, career 33% three-point shooter. Last year to close the year was at 43, 10 percentage points above his career average. This year is at 34, 1% above his career average. Okay, so Donovan is 3 points below his career average. Joe Ingles is 3 points below his career average. Jay Crowder is really right on. Ricky Rubio's right on. Dante's a career 30% three-point shooter. Last year was 28. This year's 27. Dante doesn't have enough shots yet for us to really know what he is as a three-point shooter, but probably a little bit better than his 27, but he's that same 3 percentage points. He's 3 percentage points below. Alec, career 36% three-point shooter. Last year to close the year was 30. This year's 43. He's way above what you'd expect. Last year, Tabo's career is 35%. Last year in the last 41, Jonas, who played that position, shot 41% from three. This year, George and Tabo have combined to shoot 34% from three. It's a pretty little bit of a drop. And Royce O'Neal is a 35% three-point shooter, and he's 33% right now. So what did I just discover? Not sure. Other than collectively, our second best three-point shooter on the roster career is Alec Burks. Okay, that's worth noting. So Joe's a 41% three-point shooter. Our next best is Alec at 35.7. Our next best is Royce O'Neal at 35.3. As Royce O'Neal walks right by my hotel room outside. Right now, Joe is our best, and he's 3 percentage points off, or Alec's our best, and then Joe. Everyone's off by a little bit. That happens collectively. I think that's where we are right now. In that it happens collectively, everyone's a little tight. Everyone's not sure about shots, and it hurts us. But I also, I'm not saying I think we're the 27th best three-point shooting team in the NBA, but if you look at, you know, just take a second and let's look at who we played the other night, just as a random team out there, and they're a pretty good three-point shooting team, frankly. They're always one of the top teams. They just don't shoot a lot of them. They have Bielitsa, who's shooting 50%. That seems to be outrageous. Career average is 39. So he's definitely overperforming. They have Buddy Hield, who didn't close for them last night or the other night. His career average is 42. So he's our Joe Ingles. They have Bogdan Bogdanovic, who's a career 39% three-point shooter. Like, that's a, they have some shooters. De'Aaron Fox has not proven that yet. Frank Mason has not proven that yet. The Lakers are generally not thought of as a very good shooting team that we play tonight. And so they have probably some of the similar issues that you're getting a lot of looks. You need some guys that mean the bell curve is stabilized. And Sacramento kind of has that when they have three guys that are 40% career three-point shooters. LeBron is shooting 39% from three, which is basically a career high. He shot 40% 1 year in Miami, but other than that, LeBron, he's only a 34.5% career three-point shooter. The Lakers don't have a lot of shooting either. You think of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's hot. He's hit 50% over the last five games, is probably their best pure shooter. He's only a 34.5% three-point shooter. They're similar in that sense. Jason Hart, who's one of their best three-point shooters so far this year, is a career 40% three-point shooter. He's their Joe Ingles. All right, how much is pace of play impacting things? We'll get to that in just a second. Mazuma USA is here for you if you're a small business owner. If you have 1 to 5 employees, Mazuma USA is going to save you time and money. Actually, you're just costing yourself time and money if you don't use Mazuma USA. Here's how it works. You call Mazuma USA, get your free consultation, give them the promo code LOCK, do all those kind of good things to get you all your deals. And then starting at $75 a month, they assign a bookkeeper and a CPA to you. You'll have the same ones, the same bookkeeper, the same CPA. It's not changing every month. Once they've hooked into your systems, they immediately will give you a report. They'll give you a tax consultation. Then every month you'll get a report. Every quarter you'll get a tax planning call. At the end of the year, they have all your taxes done for you. No contract, cancel anytime, no hidden fees. It's almost too good to be true, right? It's not. It's there. It's MazumaUSA.com, 801-980-2102. 801-980-2102. Use the promo code LOCKED for Mazuma USA. All right. So in Empty the Noggin, I laid out that we have been better defensively against teams with a slower pace of play. So Sacramento and the Lakers are really a problem for us because they're running up and down the floor at a really high rate. And the league has had an incredible transformation on how they play. The median pace of play is playing at 103 possessions. Last year was 99. According to one metric, there's 19 teams playing faster than the fastest team last year. There is a chance the teams are just simply running by our set defense. Teams got too good at defense. Now everyone's trying to play fast. Jazz have been good defensively against Memphis, 30th in pace of play, Houston, 29th. Dallas 16th, Boston 23rd. They've struggled against Sacramento 2nd, 76ers 6th, Toronto 10th, Minnesota 12th. The good defensive games have always had paces in the range of 98, 100, 101, 97, 97, 97, and the bad games have been a high pace of play. So maybe that's rewarding athleticism. We're not the most athletic team. Now, what's interesting is, according to cleaningtheglass.com, the Jazz are the second-best team in the NBA keeping people out of transition. Teams are playing 82% of their possessions in a half court against us. You know what they played last year? 81. Less. The problem is we're 26th defensively against transition, only 16th in the half court. Last year we were 4th in transition and 6th in the half court. So maybe it's pace of play. Maybe we're just not defending as well. Maybe it's we're getting mismatched because teams are thrusting up the court so fast that suddenly Donovan Mitchell's guarding Marvin Bagley under the basket. All right, the Kings play crazy fast. The Jazz had them at 81% of their possessions in the half court, according to Clean the Glass. Their previous games, 75, 72, 76, 71, 76. And then last night, the other night was 81. So we did a really good job and still had a bad night. I don't know what that means. The numbers say we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're just not defending anymore. The really wild one is unpredictable. And unpredictable does a really cool thing where it looks at time after certain plays. So in the 17-18 season, the Jazz defense was playing 53% of the time after a made shot. This year, they're playing the exact same amount, 53%. They're playing 36% after defensive rebound, exact same 36%, 9% after turnover. Last year, after a made shot, teams took 17.3 seconds before they shot. This year, it's 17. Virtually the same. After defensive rebound, last year was 11.6. This year's 11.7. It's actually 0.1 slower. And after a turnover, is faster, 9.7 to 9.1. After defensive rebounding, we're defending about the exact same rate. But after makes, we're gone from 0.99 to 1.06. And after turnovers, from 1.22 to 1.35. This would lead you to believe we're just not defending. It's not pace of play. It's not a change in the game. It's not something that we can't handle. We're actually still doing everything right. This would make you believe that we're simply not defending and that we're not making shots. And that's really simple and basic, but that at least is fixable, and that something hasn't just dramatically happened to change the game. It's a thought. Hope you're enjoying sitting outside Nordstrom while your wife is shopping. Every inappropriate stereotype there imaginable, but hopefully it made you laugh. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Thanks to everybody. We'll talk to you Monday. And Jazz Lakers tonight, Jazz Kings midday Sunday. See you.